We're going to take the Lord's Supper. And I want once again just to let us focus our mind on what we're really doing and what the Lord's Supper really is. Because it's so easy for us in our world where we think about ourselves and our families and our immediate friends. It's so easy for us to really miss the picture of the gospel and what God is doing. It's so easy for us to miss the first fundamental of the gospel. That you, speaking of everyone God created, belongs where? In his family. And that Christ died for the world. And he loves and cares about each one of us. And he can show that love to us if we will turn from our sins and come to him, rather than pushing him away and running in directions that he can't go. He can't go with us when we're doing things that he has told us not to do. And so I want you to look at just a few scriptures before we do the Lord's Supper here. When the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him, and he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. What I want you to realize is this. Jesus did not take his disciples apart one-on-one to have this discussion. The Lord's Supper is not an individual thing. Now, to be honest with you, most of the time when I was younger, when I took the Lord's Supper, I felt like it was me and God and the commitment of what Christ had done to me, blocking everything out. It was an experience I had with the Lord. If you're thinking of the Lord's Supper that way, you're not taking the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is intended to be taken by that group of true believers. As a matter of fact, Jesus says he desires to eat this with us. When we bless the Lord's cup, 1 Corinthians 10, 16 through 17 says, when we bless the cup at the Lord's table, aren't we sharing in the benefits of the blood of Christ? And when we break the bread, aren't we sharing in the benefits of the body of Christ? And we all eat from one loaf, showing that we are what? That we're one body. Okay, this is what the Lord's Supper is. This is the body of Christ, the church, the true believers who are united by one thing, that we love and we serve God above all else, coming together to proclaim this and to do a sacrament that physically shows and proclaims this. We're supposed to examine ourselves before we take it. It's interesting how the Bible tells us we're supposed to examine ourselves. Paul continues, and he says this, when you come together, you're not really eating the Lord's Supper. And I'll have to admit, I've had some religious experiences taking the Lord's Supper. And I've had some times where I had some commitment times with the Lord. But I really wasn't taking the Lord's Supper, because I didn't understand what the Lord's Supper was or what God was trying to say. I was experiencing a part of the gospel without understanding the big picture of what Christ is saying and what Christ is doing. He goes on to explain this further. This is because when you eat, each person eats without waiting for what? He's not concerned about other people. It's just about themselves. Some people don't get enough to eat while others get too much to drink. And you can eat and drink in your homes. You seem to think God's church is what? Is not important. Excuse me. And you embarrass those who are poor. What should I tell you? Should I praise you? I do not praise you for doing this. When we come to take the Lord's Supper, we are realizing that Jesus Christ died for everyone, and everyone who repents and turns to him becomes part of his family, and we are united together to glorify God as our chief aim, as the family of God. And we're not here to embarrass anyone, because everyone is an important part of what we are doing. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he what? Jesus Christ is not here with us in the flesh. He has died and has risen and is in the right hand of God, but he dwells in the flesh on this earth still. Where? not just in me. I only contain a little part of the Spirit of God. In all of his children together, he lives on this earth. He works through me in a small part, but I can't even comprehend all the work God is doing. He works in Alan in a part. He works in Tim in a part. He works in Steve in a part. He works in Ryan in a part. And I might not even understand what Ryan's part is. It doesn't matter, because it's God working in not just me, but in all of us. And we together are announcing that the Lord has died and risen from the dead in heaven, and someday again he will come where? Back on earth. You want to know the proof of it? Take a look at our lives. Look at what was going on here with the youth. The miraculous things God does is the proof of it, and we are dedicated to showing his glory. So anyone who eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. That is why you should examine yourselves before eating the bread and drinking the cup. For if you eat the bread or drink the cup without what? Without honoring the body of Christ. Who is the body of Christ? Where is the body of Christ? It's us on this earth. We are the body of Christ. If we don't do that without honoring the body of Christ, if we just honor ourselves, if we just care about ourselves, if we're just thinking about ourselves, we're missing the big picture of what God wants to do. You are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. And so we want to acknowledge as we take this Lord's Supper that we are a piece of God's kingdom. We are a part of his body. That is why many of you are weak and sick and some have died. Let me tell you something. People who think about themselves and don't realize God's plan of all of us together, growing together and reflecting together his glory, you can get pretty spiritually weak on your own. You can get spiritually sick on your own. Some people can lose the feeling that God's presence is with them at all. They can be spiritually dead and sit in a church building, but you can't be spiritually dead and be connected and a vibrant part of the church, of God's body. And yes, sometimes that spills over into the physical, but the greatest fear we have is to be spiritually weak and spiritually dead. But if you would examine yourselves, you would not be judged by God in this way. Life does not revolve around you. Life revolves around Christ and the work he's doing through his body. And we are told to love one another, to encourage one another, to provoke one another, to help one another find God's will. Yet when we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned along with the world. Let me tell you, if you don't connect in there spiritually, you cannot be the same person that when you're connected and the Holy Spirit, God is working through all these different sources that you're connected with to help you understand, to help you grow, to support you, to guide you. So, my dear brothers and sisters, when you gather at the Lord's Supper, wait for each other. Wait for each other. When we take the Lord's Supper today, we're going to wait for each other. And I don't mean physically, but I mean we're going to stop and consider, and as we take it prayerfully, think about what God wants to do through us and how we can help assist God and others do that. So should I take the Lord's Supper if you feel unworthy? Problem is most people read that scripture, they have no idea what it's talking about. They read that scripture, they're not thinking about Christ's body. They're not thinking about their place in God's kingdom. They're not even thinking about God's kingdom. You know who they're thinking about? Themselves and their personal relationship with Christ. Which you can't be part of the church without that. But that's the entry point into what God wants to do. That's not the end of it. And so if you're sitting there and you're thinking, well, I don't know if I can take the Lord's Supper because I wasn't the person I need to be, then you've forgotten why we're even gathered. Jesus paid that. He paid for my sins. I'm not the person I need to be. I need grace and I need help. But because God loves me and Christ died for my sins, I'm in a process of Christ working in my life to make me who I should be. And he loves me even though I'm not there yet. Just like everyone else in this building. And it's as we grow that God's glory is shown. It's not because we've arrived. And so as we look at this, we realize none of us deserve to take the Lord's Supper. None of us do. None of us are worthy. If I think I have no sin, I'm deceiving myself and calling God a liar. I'm not aware of it. None of us are worthy. We're here because Jesus paid it, and he has brought us into his family, and we see and value being a part of his kingdom. And we rejoice in that, and we do this in unity together, saying, you are the one who has bought our freedom. You are the one who has showed us mercy. You are the one who loves us. You are the one who knows the plan. You are the one we serve. You are the one that we are here to worship. So I'm going to ask the ushers to come up, and they're going to take these cups, and we're going to have someone at each aisle. And as they come down, if you're in this section, the shepherd leaders on this table will serve you. If you're on this section, you're going to have one on each side. And if you're on this section, you're going to have shepherd leaders on this side. And we're going to do that. Some of you remember a couple times ago we've done it this way, where as you come, they're going to give you, one shepherd leader will give you the bread representing Jesus' body, and one of them will be holding the cup, and you'll take that bread, dip it in the cup, and then you will take the sacraments and return back to your seat. And we'll ask you to do that prayerfully. I'm going to be reading scriptures while we do that. But let me read the scriptures that we always do as we begin. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. Let's pray, and then I'm going to ask you to leave your seats and come and take the Lord's Supper. Father, we are here because of no righteousness of our own. Nothing good that we have done outweighs the sin and rejection that we have had, leaving you and going our own way. We don't come here because we've made up or cleaned up or somehow now are better. We simply come here now because of your wonderful grace and mercy, because you see us as we are and you love us anyway. Because Jesus Christ died on the cross and shed his blood for the forgiveness of our sins. We recognize that, we turn to you, and we are your people. Forgive us. And we thank you that you have forgiven us. And so we come now to acknowledge that until you return again, we are your body here on Christ, on earth physically. Christ lives in us. Help us to allow him to shine through and live through us to the best of our abilities. We give ourselves to you, and we thank you for opening the door for us to do that. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Well, I'm going to let you just rise, and from this section, if you'll come down this side, and you guys can split off this way, and if you guys will just step up and move this direction. Isaiah 53, 4 through 12 says this. He took our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. 1 Corinthians 15:3, Christ died for our sins. 1 Peter 3:18. Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. 2 Corinthians 5:15. He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and was raised again. Romans 4:24-25. God will also count us as righteous if we believe in Him, the one who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. He was handed over to die because of our sins, and He was raised to life to make us right with God. 1 Corinthians 11:26 tells us, "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." Hebrews 9:13-14 says, "The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God?" 1 John 1:7 says, "The blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." And 1 Peter 1:18-19 says, For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. "Come now," Isaiah 1:18 says, "let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they are white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool." Revelation 1:4-6 says, "Grace and peace to you from Him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To Him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by His blood, and has made us to be a kingdom of priests to serve His God and Father, to Him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen."